Well, this is our fourth and final week speaking about healing, okay, and how to pray for healing. Today we're going to look at how to pray for healing. Just a quick recap. The very first week we said God is both willing and able to heal. It's not God that's not giving, it's us that perhaps are not speaking it out over our lives and we don't understand it. The second week we said God doesn't choose to heal some of us, but not others, that we're all chosen to be healed because Jesus chose to be crucified for us all. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, not the whole world except you or me. Last week we talked about the battle between faith and unbelief. It's like a tug of war between them in our minds. Even Jesus had to fight unbelief in his hometown of Nazareth. How did he fight unbelief in his life when he was in the wilderness as well, fighting the enemy? He fought it with words. He said, it is written. And I brought the revelation that even if the Son of God couldn't get God's power to flow in a stronghold of unbelief, then we might struggle as well. If Jesus couldn't see healing in the middle of unbelief, we don't stand much of a chance either. So we need to recognize the unbelief and we need to get rid of it. So this week I'm looking at how to pray for healing. First of all, my first point is, how do we approach God in prayer? Well, there's a scripture in Hebrew chapter 14 and verse 16, and it says this: let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So how are we supposed to approach God? We're supposed to approach him boldly. So here's my first question. Are we bold when we approach God? Or do we come thinking we're not worthy and we're not good enough because we've done something wrong that week? Well, if we're believing that we're not good enough and we're believing that we need to crawl into the presence of God because we're sinners, then we're believing a lie. Because this says we are forgiven by grace. Well, if we approach God boldly, we'll obtain mercy and we'll find grace. Not judgment, not condemnation, but the grace of God. God sits on a throne of grace. He's not just waiting to beat us on the head with a big stick. If Jesus is our Lord, we stand before God sinless because Jesus already paid the price for our sins. We're washed clean when we come to him at salvation. And you may say, well, I don't feel it, Sandra. I don't feel good enough. I don't feel I can just come boldly. But that doesn't mean it's not true. Regardless of how we feel, Christ died for us. You know, there's people going to hell that Jesus died for just because they don't believe it. Doesn't mean it's not true. So stop. We need to stop living in our negative feelings because grace is God's unmerited favor. That means we don't deserve it, but it's ours just the same. It's like someone coming along with this beautiful big gift today, tied with a big red bow, running up to Jimmy and going, it's for you. And Jimmy went, I didn't do anything. It's still for you. He's going, I don't feel good enough. It's still for you. Open the box, take the money. And it's free, it's a gift. And we're saying to God, oh, I'm not good enough and I've let you down again. And God's saying, would you just come to me and stand in my grace? Like a waterfall of forgiveness just showering down on us. Regardless of how we feel, we are good enough because Jesus died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8 says, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to be good enough. We can approach God boldly because he's already made the way. He made the way because the Bible tells me Jesus is the way. So if we're in Jesus, there's a way to God that we can approach him boldly. If Jesus is our Lord, there's nothing but love and acceptance waiting for us when we draw near to God. So how are we approaching God? Perhaps we are the ones that need to change and not God, because all he's offering is grace and forgiveness and love and mercy. And so we need to approach God knowing that we're going to be accepted by him. So here's my next point today, just a quick look at prayers that it's really, really hard for God to answer. In fact, I've called it prayers God can't answer. And maybe there's a little bit of leeway in some of them, but an awful lot of them, it's very difficult for God to do that. So first of all, God can't answer a prayer if it's not his will. So we need to find out what God's will is. It's no point in praying that you'll, win the lottery if perhaps that's not God's will for you to win the lottery. There's no point in praying that you can do something that is clearly not his will. So if you come to me today and say, Sandra, I really feel like robbing a bank, you know, I feel I've got it in me today. I'm going to go down that high street and I'm going to rob a bank. Well, I'd have to say to Chris, it's not God's will. Okay, so calm down there, because Jimmy's got the present today, so there might be something in it for you. All right, so it's not God's will. Some things are obvious that it's not God's will, but some things are less obvious. You might think, well, I'm not quite sure if I should buy that house. I'm not quite sure if I should change jobs. I'm not quite sure if I'm meant to marry this person or not. And it's not maybe specifically written. It wasn't written in the Bible, Sandra, thou shalt marry Neil. But I still was able to go to God and say, is this your plan for me, Lord? What have you got for me? And God just kept saying, trust me, just keep going with this one. I haven't shut the door on it. Just keep walking through. And so he'll give you scriptures that will still encourage you, and you'll know by the word of God that you're on the right path. You know, he says, if we look to the left or the right, we'll hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. And so we can still come to God, even if it's not written in black and white, and we can find out what his will is. You know, a good way to pray is, Lord, open the door or close the door. I don't want this if it's not your will, so just close the door. And an easy example of that is if you're going for a job interview and you think, I'm not sure if I'm meant to have this job or not, God. I just always say, thank you, Father, that you've given me an interview. That's good. And I pray it will be a good experience. I pray it will be a positive experience, that I will learn something from the interview. And then I'll know if I get the job, you've opened the door. If I don't get the job, you've closed the door. And I've probably shared this before, but years and years ago, I remember going for a job interview, and there was 10 people in front of me, and my knees were knocking together because I thought, that's a big panel, just me and 10 people. It was all the pastors from the area. It was the head teacher of the school. It was two Scripture Union representatives, because I was going for an interview that involved the high school and all the churches and everything in that area. And I sat on that interview, and I did a fantastic interview. I had them laughing, just about had them crying, I had them eating out my hand. I went down the road going, yes, I've nailed it. And I didn't get the job. God shut the door. Then about a week later, I had another interview. And it's funny because the man that got that job, he had experience in it and I didn't. So he got the job. It was his wife that was interviewing me the next week. So talk about having to eat humble pie. So he got the job, and the next week it's his wife that's interviewing me for another job. And this time there's only two people interviewing me. We couldn't even find an interview stool. We ended up sitting at a science bench, you know, on these big high stools, and I went for the interview. And I did a rubbish interview. It was a terrible interview. And I came out and I burst into tears and said to Neil, well, there's another job I haven't got. And yes, I did get the job. And so you just don't know. Just do your best. But pray, God, open the door or close the door. And even if it's something you thought you really, really wanted, but God's closed the door, don't push it. Because if God's closed the door, you don't want to open it. You don't know what's going to happen 6 months down the track, a year down the line. It might not be where you're meant to be. You're meant to be somewhere else where you're going to meet the people that you're meant to be new friends with. The second kind of prayers that I think God finds great difficulty answering is begging prayers. God, I'm begging you, if you're in a good mood, if you love me, if I've been good enough. You know, I went to church on Sunday, so I'm begging you to answer this prayer. Because when we come to God as a beggar, it shows a poor relationship. We don't know that God longs to answer. We just don't know that. And so what about healing? Well, I believe it's God's will to heal, but we need to know it. Because if we don't know it, we won't approach him boldly. We'll beg him for the healing. We won't say, Father, I'm coming to you because I know you've already provided for this sickness. I know Jesus has already died for it. We need to declare what we know already. Prayer isn't coming to God to beg him to do something that he doesn't want to do for us. Prayer is not an attempt to twist God's arm so far up his back that he's got to answer us. We're not beggars. We are his children, and he is our Father, and he longs to answer. So here's our first revelation today. Begging means we don't know who God is. We don't know who we are, and we don't know what God's done. If I'm begging God, I don't know I'm his child. My children don't need to come and beg me for their needs. And what kind of parent would I be if they have to come and beg for food or a glass of water? And I don't have to beg my Father. He knows everything in minute detail about my life. And it would also show that I don't know what Jesus has done at the cross. There's a victory in the spirit realm, and it's ours, and it's already paid for by Jesus. But we need to claim it, and we need to speak it over our lives. We do not need to beg when we pray. God is not reluctant to answer. He's willing, and he's proved it. You might say, well, Sandra, how? How did he prove it? Well, it's all summed up in this one sentence. Romans 8 and verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with us also freely give us all things? Wow. Go and chew on that for a week. Go and chew on that for a month. Chew on that for a year and see if our lives change. Because he didn't spare his own son. That's how willing he is to answer our prayers. That's how willing he is to meet our needs. You could go to God and say, God, I need a new car. Okay, here's a new car. God, I need a new house. Okay, here's a new house. I need a new job. Here's a new job. Oh, God, I need you to sacrifice your son. Okay, says God. And someone might come to me and say, Sandra, I need £5. Okay. Sandra, I need £100. Okay. Sandra, I need you to sacrifice your child. Cheerio, see you later. He didn't spare anything. He didn't even spare the blood of his own son. That's how willing he is. He wants to give us all things. All things includes healing. Jesus died to provide our healing. So here's my next revelation. He didn't spare his own son, so he's not going to withhold the answer that we need. If you go to someone and you ask for £1,000 and they give you £1,000, and then another time you need £5, you can be pretty confident they'll give you the £5 because they've given you £1,000. To approach God in prayer, we must know what he's already provided. So here's a question. Are we really expecting God to answer, or are we doubting that he will do it? Because we don't know that he didn't spare anything for us. Now, the very verse before that is Romans 8, verse 31, and it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? God is for us. He's on our side. He's not the one that's resisting. He's not the one that needs to change. We are. We're the ones lacking in knowledge about what God wants to do and how he wants to do it for us. We need to use our authority to release his power. When we pray, it's his power, but he's given us the authority. So here's another revelation. God doesn't respond to begging. He can't. He only responds to us declaring his word. By his stripes, I am healed. I know this is a really simple example, but let's just say this is my Bible. It's the only thing I've got in the chair. So here's my Bible, and Neil comes on Monday, and he says, Sandra, can I borrow your Bible? I say, sure, there's my Bible. You can borrow it. So he borrows my Bible, and he's got a hold of it. And he comes on Tuesday, and he says, Sandra, can I borrow your Bible? But it's in his hand. So maybe there's nothing. Maybe there's silence. So he comes on Wednesday, and he says, I really need to borrow your Bible. I really, really do need to borrow it. And he comes on Thursday, and by then he's begging. I'm begging you, can I borrow your Bible? And he comes on Friday, and he's on his knees with tears, and he's fasting, and he's praying, and he's begging to borrow my Bible. Can anyone see that it's impossible for me to answer that prayer? Because he's already got it. And we come to God and we beg for things that God's already given us. And God's up in heaven saying, Sandra, I love you with all my heart. And I didn't spare my own son for you. And I want to freely give you all things. But you are begging me for something that you've already got. You just don't know it. You've already got the resurrecting power, the same power that can resurrect the dead on the inside of you, but you don't know it and you're not exercising it. And so we're begging God for things that he's already given us. And it's the exact same with healing. We beg God to do what he's already done. Folks, if we beg God to release healing, what do we think the cross was all about? If we're begging God for it, what do we think the cross was all about? And I think every single one of us, myself included, needs a revelation of what is in us already, what we've got already. Jesus died and that curtain was torn in two, so we didn't have to come in the name of the priest anymore. We didn't have to come begging. We didn't have to come with sacrifices. We can run into the arms of our Heavenly Father, and He knows our needs already. He's already put His Holy Spirit in us. When we walk into a room, we take the Holy Spirit with us, and people don't know what's different about us, but they know what's different about us. And some people are drawn to that, and some people are repelled by it. You have all probably met people, and they just don't like us. The instant we meet them, and you just know, this person doesn't like me. But what they don't like is the Spirit of God in me. There was a lady that Neil and I used to just bump into every so often that someone else says, barbecue, you know? And we'd bump into this lady, and we just both felt, she doesn't like us. And then later on, we heard that she did tarot card readings and all the rest of it. I was like, ah, that's why she doesn't like us, you know? So the power of God is in us, and even if we don't recognize it, the people around us do. They know there's something different about us. God has already crucified His Son to pay the price. He's already released healing, and He does not need to and cannot crucify Him twice. It is impossible. And sometimes we're coming to God with prayers that are impossible for Him to answer because He needs us to release the words. He needs us to release the faith and not be begging Him. We need to release it. And still we keep begging and still God can't answer. We're begging God to do what He has told us to do. Folks, the only cross in heaven is an empty one. It's an empty cross, and it's got yes written right across the crossbar. Yes to our needs. Yes to healing. But we don't know it. We don't know what we already have. So my final prayers is prayers that God can answer, and it's prayers that use our authority. This scripture is in Mark 11, verse 23, and I know that you'll all know it, but it's such a powerful scripture. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. And I looked at this last week, and I said, most of us have a mountain to move at some point in our lives. We have something we need to move, and we'd love to see it lifted up and thrown into the sea. And so we come to God and we say, God, I've got this mountain, and we repeat the problem because it is a fact. Listen to this, folks. Today, we are not denying the facts that we are facing. We're not denying what the hospital have said or what the doctors have said. But the truth of my God is greater than any facts that have been put in front of us. So here is the revelation. The fact is, we have a mountain. The truth is, we have authority over that mountain. The problem is, we don't know it. Or we don't know how to use it. We are hungry and homeless. We come to God with a begging bowl and a mat and a sign saying, I have nothing. You have everything, God. And we start trying to give God the glory, but we're not acknowledging what He's already given us. We're going, I'm on this mat, Father, and I'm crippled in some way, and I'm hungry and homeless, and you're doing nothing about it. That is our heart attitude a lot of the times when we don't see the answers to our prayer. And He is up in heaven saying, Sandra, I did not spare my Son for you so I could give you all things. But you need a revelation of it. We sit there with our begging bowl and we blame God when He does not respond. Because we're asking Him to give us that Bible that He's already given us, the Word of God that's already in us. So my revelation is being hungry and homeless before God means we are not approaching Him boldly. And it's boldly that we'll get our answers. The violent take it by force. Not the hungry and homeless, but the people that know the power of God in them. You know, it's the violent that will take things by force in the name of Jesus. That verse said, whoever says to this mountain. So we're the ones that are supposed to speak to the mountain. We're supposed to command the problem to move, and sickness is the problem. Therefore, sickness isn't from God. Now, I could camp here for a week. Now, I probably am speaking to the converted today, but there might be people listening to this. Sickness is not from God. Are we sure? Are we sure the sickness is not from God? Because some people aren't. Some people think, oh, maybe God sent it so that I can learn a lesson. Well, He didn't send it, Sandra, but maybe He's allowing it. No, He's not allowing it, and He didn't send it. So I could camp there for a week, but the sickness is not from God. So if it's not from God, we can command it to go. If this thing isn't from God, we've got the right to command it to go. A really easy example of this is, say you're out at work all day, or you're at the shops and you come home, and someone's broken into your house. And there they are sitting on your couch, your lovely cream leather couch, and they've got dirty, muddy shoes on, they've got their boots on the couch, legs crossed, lying back, lounging, your favourite mug in one hand, and the remote control in the other. And they're flicking through the TV channels, and they're just there, you know, like they own the place. Would you walk in and say, oh, it's nice to see you, what's your name, you're welcome to stay on my couch with your muddy feet? No. You would use all the authority and you say, I own this, this is my property, I've paid for this, you need to go in Jesus' name. And we would command them to leave. We would not allow them to stay there. And if we needed reinforcements, we'd get the neighbours in to help us cart them out and dump them out in the front lawn or something. Folks, we don't ask the attack on our lives to leave. We command it to leave in Jesus' name, forcefully. We don't say, dear devil, please leave if it's God's will. In Jesus' name, amen. You will not see an answer to that prayer. You will not see the healing if that is the way we're praying for it. But that is how some people pray for healing. Just because a prayer ends in the name of Jesus, it does not mean it's God's will, and it does not mean God can answer it. We think we've done a good prayer if we say, in Jesus' name, amen. But what we've said before that might just not make sense to God at all.